David Trainer, the president of New Constructs, is here. They evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And today, we're looking for trouble. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, this is the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where David Trainer, the founder and president of New Constructs, joins us and takes us on a tour of things that are troublesome, worrisome, downright dangerous. At New Constructs, they dig in at the footnotes level and they work their way up. It's forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis, if you want to know the truth. And the what that winds up resulting in is an evaluation of securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. You know, everybody else is digging in at the top down, and they'll look at something and say,
"You are so good looking."
When you go in at the other direction, the question you're asking,
"Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?"
It is. And when they find something that is not as attractive as most people think it is, well, they're raising the red flag and citing the danger. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. On their website, they blog about their danger zone picks. So if you want to get more about what you hear on this show, that's where you want to do it. By the way, they're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Overvalued stocks with bad returns on invested capital.
Danger, danger.
Overvalued stocks with bad ROIC, returns on invested capital. Now, I am sure that there is a way for folks to figure this out, but the truth is that help my audience figure it out by saying, what is an overvalued ROIC? What is a case where you're looking at something and you should be able to spot that the ROIC is out of whack?
Well, we got two examples, Under Armour and Keysight Technologies. And really, you know, the only way to identify something that's out of whack like this is to, you know, to run the numbers, look at return on invested capital, compare it to peers, which means you need to run those kinds of numbers and do that kind of work on a lot of companies so you can identify ones that on a relative basis really stand out as a whole lot less profitable than what they purport to be and therefore a lot more expensive than they deserve to be.
So you mentioned Under Armour. That's a stock that my youngest daughter holds in her portfolio. So why would I want to be telling her, hey, you don't have what you think you've got?
Well, you know, we got a chart in our report that shows accounting earnings going up and to the right, economic earnings going down and to the right. Effectively, I always tell Kyle and Sam, the best charts are the X's, right? Where you can just see things going in opposite directions. And that's what we're seeing. So, you know, we've seen, you know, with Under Armour, Chuck, it's not just about return on invested capital declining, but we're seeing on both the operational side of the business in terms of margins going down. We're also seeing it in terms of balance sheet efficiency, it's going down. We're seeing that it looks like it's losing market share, not just to Nike, but to Puma and New Balance. And as a result of sort of this declining profitability, when you look at the core of the operation, the valuation is just really looking overdone here, especially when you consider the big run-up it's had here recently, year-to-date. It's been a stock we've identified as dangerous a while ago, back in 2016. You know, it's down 42% versus the S&P up 31% in that time frame. But here recently, it's gotten hot, and it's overdriving its headlights, so to speak.
So you mentioned Under Armour as one stock, and there you have kind of that wrong way things are moving. Is that the same exact problem with the other stock?
Yeah, and Chuck, you know, normally you ask me, you know, well, how overvalued can it get for Under Armour? And I figured that should be part of the discussion here, really, right?
So yep.
Part of the issue here, to justify the current price of $22 a share, they've got to get their margins up to 11%, which is where Nike is, versus 3% where they are recently, and grow profits by 20% compounded annually for over 10 years or 11 years. So immediately improve profitability and maintain sort of unusually, incredibly high revenue growth. If they were to do something more pedestrian and go grow at 15% for the next 10 years, then it's worth $11 a share, 50% downside. If it were to trade in line with its peers with respect to return on invested capital, it's $5 a share or 70% below the current price.
Wow. Wow. Means my daughter better be thinking about making changes to her portfolio is what it really means.
I think so, man. Take advantage of that run-up. You know, get out before the true economics come home to roost.
Because, of course, we never know what the catalyst is going to be.
You never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's tough. You know, I was traveling in New York and doing a lot of meetings, and sometimes with students, and they understand quickly, even more than the practitioners, the conceptual sort of framework we're dealing with, and explaining to them the inability to identify catalysts, only because industry trends can turn to your back and things can get back better. People can get more aggressive in how they exploit accounting. It's a lot of things that companies can do to sort of put off reality crashing in. And you know, you look no farther than Netflix and Tesla for two businesses where they've been able to put it off for a long, long time. And a lot of the issue is that, you know, Wall Street's there to help them because unprofitable companies are Wall Street's friend. Right? Because Wall Street makes money selling debt and equity. That's where they make most of their money. So the last thing they're going to do is, you know, do anything but try to dress up the companies that need money or dress down the companies that need money because those are their biggest clients.
Yeah. And you put it all together and you can see why you want to make sure that the ROIC is in line. And if it isn't, well, that may be a case that you need to be thinking it's time to go because clearly something is amiss. You've got that misleading situation and misleading. Another word for that would be dangerous. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us to point it out.
Thanks for having me, Chuck. I had a great time.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is the president at New Construct. And if you want to learn more about what they're talking about and why, well, they blog about their danger zone picks and they've got a full report that points out the stocks we were talking about more. You can see those charts we were talking about. It's all available for you at newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at New Construct. Okay, we're heading for home on the President's Day edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the market call. Mark Yusko from Morgan Creek Asset Management will be here talking both stocks and ETFs when we come back right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.